Morning, everyone. Today's daf and Shabbos daf Ayin Dalin. We are in Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, and we're going through the Malachos. Yesterday in Shabbos, we were introduced to the Mishnah and Shabbos on Ayin Gimel that goes through all 39 Malachos. In terms of the construction of the Mishkan, as Rashi explained yesterday, there are 39 different activities that we've enumerated where it was required to assemble the Mishkan. These become now the platform of the 39 Malachos vis-a-vis Shabbos, and a violation of any one of these Malachos would warrant a Chilul Shabbos vid Bichai v'Karmen Chatas. The purpose of identifying the actual Av Malacha, the main Malacha, is, in the context of this parak, is what we've been discussing for the past week. So then now you know that when you are Mezeh B'Shabbos, you know about Shabbos, but Shigigas Malachos, but you were Shogig on the Malacha, so you're going to chayv on every single Malacha. It's possible, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, we've seen this now, I think, four times in the Masechta, I think four times just in this parak alone, is that it's possible for a person to be chayv 39 Karben Chatos on Shabbos, meaning on any given Shabbos, if you forgot about all 39 Malachos, even though he was amazed by Shabbos, he knows about Shabbos, but he forgot about all 39 Malachos, so he's going to be chayv akol achas v'achas, he'll be chayv for every single Malacha. So says Rav Yochanan, immediately following the Mishnah. I mentioned yesterday for homework, you should go over the Mishnah. You should go over the Mishnah about 101 times. And in doing so, you will have a good fluency of what the 39 Malachos are. I noted yesterday that as we're going to go through the Gemara now, you would expect the Gemara to be, from this point going forward, really long, because now we have an opportunity to discuss all 39 Malachos. The parak will end in just 2 short days from now. That's it. So, and what does that mean? Meaning we're not going to discuss any of these Malachos in any detail? No, that's not true. We are going to discuss some of these Malachos in detail, but right now the Gemara is just running commentary on the Mishnah, and the Gemara is going to make very short punctuated points regarding every one of these Malachos, and the Gemara will not get involved in any lengthy discussion with any one of these given Malachos. But over the course of the Masechta, however, we will come back and we will be discussing some of these Malachos in more detail. Bishul, we already spent some time talking about to a certain degree. Hotzah, I told you, it's like the most popular Malacha in all of Masechta Shabbos. Popular, just I mean by that, the most amount of real estate in the Masechta is dedicated to the topic of Hotzah. In fact, if you missed Hotzah, don't worry, it's going to come back again in the Tzadis, Tzadis Zion, Tzadis Vav. We come back to the Malacha of Hotzah, so Hotzah is something that's discussed often. But these 3-4 Dapim of Gemara really are the main spots in Shas where we discuss the Malachos of Shabbos. We're up to the Malacha of Ma'amer. We are on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. We are 5 lines, 6 lines from the bottom of the Amud. And we're now to the Malacha of Ma'amer. So the first 11 is Sedir Depas, a term which I borrowed from the Gemara. In fact, you're going to see the Gemara today where the Gemara uses exactly that terminology. The first 11 Malachos are what it takes to bake bread. Baking bread in terms of the construction of the Mishkan. So already Rashi pointed out yesterday in the Mishnah, I read the Rashi together with you, where it's not really the bread that's the construction of the Mishkan. Bread is necessary for the operation of the Mishkan. That's called the Lechem Apanim. But there is no bread in the construction of the Mishkan. So why does the Mishnah here give us the 11 steps and stages of making bread? Because it's not really the bread, it's the Samamanim, it's the dyes. Meaning we're going to pluck berries and other vegetation from the ground because we need to make dyes. And the ultimate process is that we're going to take those berries, we're going to put them in a pot, and we're going to cook them in a pot. And by doing so, now we're extracting the color from those berries, and we need that for dyeing. Why do we need that for dyeing? So Rashi back in the Mishnah said, because the Mishkan is made up of colors. Tcheles, argaman, talashani, various colors that are used to make the Mishkan. The curtains in the Mishkan, the various curtains in the Mishkan, are dyed a certain color, so as the begadim of the Kohen are dyed a certain color, although it's interesting. I don't know if the Kohen's clothing is counted towards construction of the Mishkan vis-a-vis Shabbos. As the words are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking to myself, does that count? Does that count as Binyan HaMishkan? I'm not sure. But anyway, I don't think so. All right, why am I going to argue with myself right now? Now is not the time to do so. I'll talk to myself later. So anyway, I'll have that conversation later. I'll even pencil my calendar. Okay, anyway, so the But the curtains in the Mishkan, the Yirios and the Mishkan, they're dyed different colors. So therefore, it's not the word Afia we're looking for. It's really the word Bishul we're looking for. And later today, in today's daf, the Gemara is going to say, well, all that's well and good, what I just told you, but why doesn't the Mishnah use the word Bishul? Why does the Mishnah use the word Ofe? The Gemara is going to ask that question later on. Stay tuned. We're up to Ma'amir. So you remember the Malachas up to this point in time, we talked about Zareh Chorish, we talked about planting and sow, we talked about planting and plowing. The Gemara was bothered by the fact that it's out of order, it should be plowing and planting. We did coats there, we did harvesting. Ma'amir, that's what we're up to. Now Ma'amir's gathering. Okay, so can you imagine anyone work the farm? I did for one summer, but that was a long time ago. So so after you harvested everything, everything's out there in the fields. So the next thing you got to do is you got to bring it all into a bundle, so that we can come with the truck and put it on the truck. Obviously, well, they had a wagon, but you understand. So we're now up to the Malach of Ma'amir. Amar Rava Haiman Dechan of Milcha Mimalchasa Chayv Misha Ma'amir. So again, Rava Abaye the Amorim, what they're going to do is they're going to try to push the limits. They're going to try to explain. We know what the basic Malacha is. We want to know, how far is the malacha going to extend? So let's say you're in the salt mines, and you take salt and you gather salt together. So now we're talking about mineral, meaning you understand the malacha is about vegetable. But now we want to know, does the malacha extend to mineral as well? So Rava says, yes. Where if you gather salt and you bundle salts into pile, so that later on we can go and we can pick up the salt, so you're going to be, that's Ma'amir. That's the Malacha of Ma'amir. So Abaye Amar ain't Imor Ela B'Gidulei Karka. And Abaye says, no, that Ma'amir is only vegetable, not mineral. It has to be Gidulei Karka, has to grow from the ground. So only vegetation is subject to the Malacha of Ma'amir. Mineral is not subject to the Malacha of Ma'amir. Okay. Interesting. Machlok is Abaye and Rava. Normally we go like Rava. The Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, they both go like Abaye.
That's one of the sixes.
I'm part of the altar. Yeah. I don't have an explanation, but that's correct. Okay. All right. I just thought of that. Right, anyway, we move on. Hadash. Tani we learned in a brisa. Hadash. Amanafe. Tamanafe. We're up to the next malach of dash. Dash is okay. Threshing. Now you've heard that word threshing many times. You've heard the word dash many times. Does anyone know what that is? So. When you have now the kernel, so the kernel is not just a kernel of wheat, it's actually in the chaff. And what you have to do is you have to separate the chaff from the kernel. So you have to apply pressure. In the good old days, what they would do is they would have an animal, and to the back of the animal they would attach some weight. Could be as simple as a plank of a board. Sometimes you would have somebody riding on top of the board to add even more pressure, and you would run over the kernels of wheat. And with that pressure, it would separate the kernels and the wheat, the kernel from the chaff, right? The seed from the chaff. And this is what's called dash. You know, the Torah has an isser of lo sachsam shor bidisho. That when you have when your ox is plowing, what you cannot do is you can't muzzle your ox while it's plowing. Because think about it now. In other words, it's basically now getting all these seeds that are becoming separated from the chaff. And the ox is hungry, and the ox wants to eat, so you can't muzzle it while it's plowing. So so that's the malach of dash. So the Bryce over here says, Hadash, Menafet, Kula Malacha Achas, and they're all one malacha. Now, in other words, it's really, hopefully it's a little bit more than just nomenclature, but it's nomenclature, meaning that when it comes to grain, so the correct usage of word is dash. When it comes to flax, it's menafet. It's menafet, you beat it. You beat the flax. And then when it comes to cotton, it's menafet. Okay, and Rashi says, b'tzemer gefen b'keshes k'derech ha'umnim, b'tzemer gefen gidulei karkohu, cotton grows out of the ground, l'achi kari nifot dilei tolada d'dash, shemefarik garinim imenu, v'lo kari le tolada menafet d'tzemer. Okay. It's more similar to a vegetable because it grows out of the ground, and therefore when you beat it and you get the cotton out, so that's a malacha of dash. We're moving on to Zorah v'Abor v'Atochen v'Amirake. Now, the Gemara is bothered by the following. Of the 11 malachas of Sidur Depas, an oddity, in that, 3 of them are basically the same. Meaning, I could point to, and the Gemara is going to point to, three malachas, which essentially have the same function. Those three malachas are, in the Mishnah, Zorer, Borer, and Merakeh. Now, Zorer, let's go over each one of them, just a basic working definition. Zorer is taking the fresh cut harvest, throwing it into the air. All the light chaff will be blown away by the wind, and what's going to come down now are the kernels. Okay, that's Zorer. So what am I doing with Zorer? I'm separating the good from the bad. Then there's a malacha of what's called Borer. Borer is, I have a pile on the ground of seeds and dirt and rocks, and what I'd like to do now is, I'd like to separate the rocks and the dirt from the seeds. So that's Borer. And then there's something called Merakeh, which means that after I grind it up, I put it in the sifter. And what the sifter is going to do is it's going to separate the fine flour from the more coarse stuff. Stuff that shouldn't be going down. In other words, what I'm doing is I'm separating good from bad. So three malachas in Sidur Depas, not even, you don't have to go to all 39 malachas. In the first 11, three of them, which basically speak to the same idea of separating good from bad. And so essentially what the Gemara now wants to know is, so why count them as three? Why not just count it as one? So Zorer, Borer, V'atochem, V'merakeh. So Hainu Zorer, Hainu Borer, Hainu Merakeh. So Gemara is basically articulating now this question. Isn't that the same? Abai V'ravah, Dami Tavah, Kol Milsa, Avya B'mishkan, Afagav, De'ika, De'damila, Chashiv Lam. So Abai and Rav agree to the following answer. Look, it's part of the process. And since it's part of the process, so therefore it's counted. Meaning, you're right. Essentially, all three malachas are speaking to the same idea of separating good out of bad. But because in the baking of bread, since they are three different individual stages, even though in purpose they're the same, so therefore we're going to count them. They're going to be counted towards the 39 malachas. So the Gemara says, really? So in other words, you're telling me now that since it's part of the process, so therefore it's counted. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so why not count Kotesh as well as one of the 39 malachas? Now, first of all, what is Kotesh? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes as follows. It's the second Rashi on the Amud. Rashi says, Chitin b'machteshes lahasir klipas san. Meaning, even after I remove the kernel out of the chaff, the kernel still has some soft shells around it. I guess we would call it bran, right? The bran of the kernel, and sometimes that bran is removed, right? Who removes that bran? So as the Gemara is about to tell us, wealthy people. So Rashi says, "Chitim b'machteshes lahasir klipas san dehave b'mikdash b'samamanim." Now in the base of mikdash, when preparing the samamanim, the dyes, so what they would do is they would remove this outer layer, this outer shell, even after it's been removed from the chaff. So what the Gemara now wants to know is, that should be counted as well as part of the malachos. Now, I know the problem would be, is that if we counted Kotesh, we would not have 39, we would have 40. Okay, but, and that's the problem. But in other words, the Gemara basically said, anything which is a step in the process is going to be counted, even though in functionality, we've already gone over that basic idea. So we should count Kotesh. El Alam, I'm continuing in Rashi. Elam Ishim de Dami Ladash Lo Chashiv La Daha Nami Mefarkim Elavushu. The reason why we didn't count it is because essentially Kotesh and Dash are the same thing. Dash is I remove the kernel from the chaff. Kotesh is I'm removing the kernel from that thin outer layer that's around it. It's basically the same, and that's why the Moshe didn't count Kotesh. Well, now I'm kind of stuck. Because now I see that I'm not counting every step in the process, especially when two steps are basically part A and part B of the same process. Or the same purpose, I should say. So the Gemara offers two suggestions. Number one, Abaye says, look, poor people don't remove that outer shell. Poor people who want to try to get the most out of their kernels of wheat, they're limited in terms of how much wheat they're going to actually eat. So therefore, they keep the layer of bran around it. They don't take it off. And so therefore, it's not always done. It's an interesting answer by Abaye, because essentially what Abaye is saying is, yes, in the Mikdash they did it, but no, not everybody does it. And that's why the Mishnah didn't count it.
Optional.
Yeah, so it's kind of, you get it kind of confused now because, well, what's the Mishnah counting? Are the Mishnah counting things that were done towards the preparation of the Mishnah, the Mishkan? Or also what goes into the consideration is, what is normal practice? What's done by you and me? And so that sounds like from Abaye that that's taken into consideration in terms of counting the 39. Okay, which is obviously strange. Rava Amar Haimani Rebbe Yid Amar Avos Malachos Arbaim Chasar Achas V'Yichashev Kotesh Havelei Arbaim. So Rava gives another answer. He says, well, you know, if you count the Kotesh, it should be 40. And it can't be 40 because it's got to be 39. Because our Mishnah says it's just 39. Okay, good. Circular reasoning, meaning, okay, you can't add Kotesh because the Mishnah says 39. And once I add Kotesh, I'll add one more. So the Gemara says, V'leipo Chada Mehanach V'lael Kotesh. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's just an accounting issue. So when it comes to accounting, so accounting is not a science, you'll forgive me for any of the accountants here in this room, but accounting is not a science. In other words, if it's just a question of accounting, you'll pull one in, you'll take something out. In other words, okay, you'll play around with the numbers a little bit. So Elamachrata Kadabaye. So the Gemara says, yeah, it's strange. Rav's answer is strange, and the Gemara says, well, we'll go back to Abaye's answer. It's not done by everybody. I mean, you could say that from Rashi. Rashi doesn't sound that way. Meaning, read Rashi, and Rashi sounds like it would be... Yeah, understood. Rashi says, Afagav David b'mikdash v'av malachahi. Right? Rashi uses the word, Rashi is very specific. When he describes, he calls it av malacha. So from Rashi, it sounds like the Gemara was entertaining that it would be counted as one of the 39 av malachos. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Good. That is the end of the discussion of I don't know which one was the Gemara even focusing on. Who knows? Maybe Borer. Anyway, okay. Zora. Let's say Zora. We move on now to Borer. You're going to see we're going to go through these very quickly. Meaning, as I mentioned, the Gemara does not spend a lot of time in every one of these on any of these malachas. We're just making very short points. Probably the most amount of time that we're going to spend is on the malacha of Borer. And here the Gemara begins. Tan Rabbanan. Ha'ilofan amine ochlem bor v'ocha bor meneach v'lo yivro v'im bir chayev chatas. So the Gemara quotes the Braisa, and the Braisa is very short and very terse. And the Braisa says, ha'ilofan of mine ochlem, you have different foods in front of you. Bor v'ochel, you can do bor and you can eat it. Boro meniach, you could do boro and you could put it aside. Velo yivor, and you cannot do boro, v'im bir chayev chatas, and if you do boro, you'll be chayev karmen chatas, as you just violated nav malacha. Now, I hope all that was very clear, as the Braisa is very not clear. Okay? Obviously, it's an extraordinarily cryptic Braisa, and from here until basically the bottom of the Amud, the Gemara will try to unravel this extraordinarily cryptic Braisa. But before we do that, however, there's an important point that I'd like to point out. The Braisa, even just before you get on to the confusion of can I do Borer, can I not do Borer, how does the Braisa set itself up? Hayu lefanav mine ochlin. Okay? You had different foods in front of you. Now, when I described the Mishnah, and we talked about Borer and the Mishnah, what was my descriptive point of the Mishnah? So the Mishnah was talking about out in the field. And we're harvesting. And we're bringing in the grains. And why am I doing Borer? I'm doing Borer because in this pile of grains that I have right now, I have pebbles and stones and dirt. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to get rid of the pebbles, stones and dirt. So I'm doing a Borer in the Mishnah with what? With food and non-food. Meaning things that are totally inedible. And what I'm doing is I'm separating good from bad. But bad in the Mishnah means things that you just simply don't eat. Dirt, rocks, and stones. And meanwhile, when this Braisa talks about the Malacha of Borer, Hayu lefan of mine ochlin, I have foods in front of me. So it sounds like from the just from the setup of the Braisa, that Borer would apply even when it's just foods. Now, where do we start with this discussion? We'll start with a Rashi. Rashi that may be hard to find because there's no it's not highlighted, it's not bolded. But the Rashi starts right. It's about halfway down the Amud. Hayu lafanav mine ochlin garsinan velo garsinan shnei. Okay, so what Rashi does is Rashi takes out the word shnei, meaning Rashi leaves our Gemara intact with hayu lafanav mine ochlin. You had different foods in front of you. Now, by Rashi taking out the word shnei, what is Rashi essentially saying? So it sounds like what Rashi's saying is that we're talking about food and non-food. Meaning, don't tell me that the Bryce is talking about where I had different foods in front of me, and I'm separating one food from another food. Don't say that. But rather, it's food and non-food. That's how Rashi sets up the Bryce. It sounds like from Rashi that if everything was edible, and there were just different foods in front of me, it's not ochel and psolas, it's not good and bad. I mean, it's all food. I may have a personal preference of which one I want and which one I don't want, and I don't like the red grapes, I only eat the green grapes, but that's my personal preference. That's not ochel and psolas, that's what it sounds like from Rashi. And then I turn your attention to Tosfos, where Tosfos does not say that. In fact, Tosos writes, it's 1-2, it's the third Tosos down on the Amud. Ha'ilafan of shnei mine ochlin. First of all, you see what Tosos did over there? He inserted the word shnei into the Braisa. The word that Rashi said, you better take that word out. Tosos says, no, that word remains. V'chein perish rach, and Rabbeinu Chanan also says, deba ochel mitoch ochel, shaycha breira. Shebar oso, she'inu chafetz le'echol, mitoch osa she'rotza le'echol. The osa sheinu chafetz bo chashab psos legabe osa she chafetz lechol vechein mashma b'Yerushalmi the garas abara ochlin mitoch ochlin chizkiya amar. He quotes Yerushalmi as well. Tosos says, Rabbeinu Chananel says, the whole issue of bara would apply even with foods. There are foods in front of you, a mixture of foods in front of you. Some of them you like, some of them you don't like. I know in the Jelly Belly discussion, I know this is very true. It's almost a universal that the buttered popcorn is rejected. But in other words, but Tosos says, Rabbeinu Chananel says, and he quotes the Yerushalmi that supports this as well, that Bora, the whole concept of Bora applies to foods as well. In other words, it's not food and non-food. It's even food and food. Okay, that's an important by Tosfos. It sounds like from Rashi, Rashi disagrees with this, and it sounds like from Rashi that Rashi only considers Bora to be food and non-food. But the halacha is like Tosfos. In other words, when it's a food and food mixture, and there are some foods that you don't want, so you step now into a borer discussion. Okay, now let's discuss. So give me a moment. So v'lo yivar v'im borer chayv chatz. My kamar. So the Gemara now wants to know. Good. So now that we know what we're talking about, right? Rashi and Tosfos, whether or not borer applies to food and non-foods, or foods and foods that you just simply don't like. But what does the Braisa even mean? So the Gemara is going to go and give no less than five different explanations of the Braisa, three of which we're going to take away with today. Two of which the Gemara is going to sound like it's just the Gemara dismisses out of hand. Number one, Amar Ula, Hachi Kamar, Bor v'ochel babayom, Bor miniach lababayom, Ulamach lo yivor, v'imbir chayiv chatas. So this is Pshat number one, offered by Ula. Well, if I'm going to do Bor for today, that's fine. And if I'm going to do Borer in the morning, but, you know, I'm preparing for Shal Shudas, that's fine. But I can't do Borer on Shabbos for Sunday. That's a no-no. Right? That's, in fact, if you do that, you're going to be Chayv Karban Chatas. So that's the first pshat in the Braisa. So Maskev L'Rav Chista, so Rav Chista says, come on. V'chim mutar la'afos l'bobayom. V'chim mutar la'vashol l'bobayom. Right. So, come on. Meaning, let me ask you this question. Can I cook? In other words, I know one of the malachas on Shabbos is cooking. So I know I can't cook for tomorrow, but maybe I can cook for today. It's absurd. It's absurd. It's untenable. So the Gemara says, well, just like I can't do bishul for today, I can't do bor for today as well. It's a malacha. So Amar Rav Chista, so the Gemara now is going to, El Amar Rav Chista. That word El is important. It means rejection. Let's take on another suggestion. Now the Gemara is going to offer Rav Chista, Bar v'ochel pachos mechashir, Bar minech pachos mechashir, u'chashir, lo yivar v'imbir chayev chatas. So our second suggestion now of the Braisa is, well, if I do a little bit of barer, that's fine. By a little bit I mean it's less than a shir. If I do a little bit, But if I, but once I do a shear of borer, so then you'll be chayv a karmel chata. So maskev l'Rav Yosef, v'chimuto l'efos pochus mechishir. So again, so Rav Yosef says, come on. Let's say you cook on Shabbos. Well, I'm not going to cook a shear on Shabbos. I'll cook less than a shear on Shabbos. You can't do that. So El Amar Rav Yosef, bor v'ochal b'yad, bor v'minich b'yad, b'karam v'tamcho lo yivar v'imbir pater, aval aser, uvenaf v'kavar lo yivar v'imbir chayv chatas. Okay, so now we're going to start off with the suggestions. This is number three, but if you will, if you'll allow me, please, I'm going to call this now number one. Why'd I do that? I just talked about accounting. So the why'd I move the number back up to one? Because it sounds like from the Gemara that Ula and Rav Chista are totally rejected, and now these are going to be suggestions of the Braisa, which I happen to know are going to be all accepted lahalacha. So we'll call this now number one. So Rav Yosef's suggestion is bor v'olcha biyad, meaning to do bor with your hands, that's fine. Bor u'miniach biyad. If I'm going to do borer and leave it over for later today on Shabbos, that's also fine, as long as I do it with my hand. But once I use an instrument to do borer, it depends on what the instrument is. If I'm doing borer with a something that is not specific to separating. The Gemara here gives examples of kanun and tamchui. Tamchui is like a big plate. Right? You remember the Mishnah Pesachim, 10th Perek? Rafilim and a tamchui. Tamchui is that big plate that was used, the aniyim used to allocate food. So I do borrow with a big plate. In other words, I guess the way it works is that I put the food on the plate and I kind of tilt the plate over and I allow all the stuff that I don't want to fall off the plate.
Sifting gold.
Right, but without a sifter though. So there, lo yivar v'imbir patav al asr. So there, it's asr midrabanan, and then naf of a kavra. Now, if I use a sieve or a sift, these are things that are specific to borer, the instruments that are specifically for the purpose of borer. Lo yivar v'imbir chayv chatas. So then you're going to be chayv a carbon chatas if I use a sieve or a sift on Shabbos. Okay, this is pshat number one. So pshat number one makes a distinction between doing bor with your hands versus doing bor with an instrument. So maskev l'Rav Hamnuna mi dikan v'tamchui ketani. Now, Rav Hamnuna is bothered by the following. Now, this is going to be a technical issue, but it's an important issue. It's not. Where did you see that in the Braisa? Did you see the words kanon and tamchui in the Braisa? Meaning, how do you know that the Braisa was talking about an instrument? There's not any hint in the Braisa that it's talking about an instrument. Alam Rav Hamnuna, so now we're going to get to the second suggestion of the Gemara. We'll call this now number two. Bar v'ochel ochel mitoch ha-psolos, bar v'niach ochel mitoch ha-psolos, psolos mitoch ochel lo yivar v'imbir chayv chatas. To take good out of bad is fine. To take bad away from good, that's called barer, and then you'd be chayv a karben chatas. That's the opinion of Rav Hamnuna. Okay? What's the difference? Right? Simple question. What's the difference between good out of bad versus bad out of good? So presumably the difference is that when you take bad out of good, what essentially you're doing is, look, I'm storing the food for later. Meaning, obviously, I don't want the stones and pebbles in there, so I'm going to take the stones and pebbles out, and by doing so, I'm basically I'm separating for the purposes of storage. Masha ain kain, if I have a mixture of good and bad, and I pluck out the good, so basically what I'm doing is, I'm taking it out so I can eat it. Otherwise known as, this is derech achila. This is the way we eat. Now what I'm saying over here is going to be even clearer as we get to the third pshat in the Gemara. But you understand though, in other words, essentially the difference that lies over here between good out of bad versus bad out of good, is that when I'm taking good out of bad, essentially it's called eating. Meaning on Shabbos you're allowed to eat. Right, this is one of the. In fact, it's Oneg Shabbos. One of the ways that we enjoy Shabbos is by eating. And when I have a mixture of things that of a tarovus, of a mixture of good and bad, and I'm removing the good out of the bad, that's eating. That's fine. That presumably is the difference between good out of bad versus bad out of good. But mind you, though, according to Rav Hamnuna, it's a big difference. Meaning, if I take good out of bad, that's fine on Shabbos. That's called eating. If I do it the other way, if I take bad out of good, that's a chatas. That's a malacha. Okay. Maskev l'abayim idi ochel mitoch psolos ketani. Now again, Abai is bothered by a technical difficulty where those words, Ochel mitoch psos, psoch mitoch ochel, are not in the Braisa themselves. El amar Abai, bar v'ochel la'alter, bar miniach la'alter, ulebaba yom lo yivar, v'imbir nasi kabar la'otzer, v'chayv chatas. And then finally we get to the third pshat with that which of Abaye, which is that if I do borer for immediate use, immediate benefit, that's fine. But once I do borer for a later point in time, so it's nasik kibor la'otzer, it's like I'm doing borer to put into my warehouse, and you'd be chayv akar b'nechatas. I'm Rabban Kamei de Rava. The rabbis passed along all these different pshatim of the brayso in front of Rava. Amalu shaper amar nachmeni, and Rava says that my chavrus Abaye, he said the best pshat. I enjoy his pshat more than all other pshatim. Okay, adkan, that gives us that gets us almost to the end of the bar discussion of the Gemara. So now what we've offered, we presented a brayso. The first thing we did is first of all we tried to understand whether or not bar applies to different. To food and non-food, or does the bar even apply to food and food? And I showed you a very important Tosfos who says it applies to even food and food. It just happens to be that I don't want one food over another. That's also an issue of bar. And we've offered no less than five different pshatim in the Braisa in terms of what is when bar is mutter, when bar is aser. Now, even though we went through five different pshatim, I told you to ignore the first two and to basically focus on the last three. And what the Shulchan Aruch does basically says is that if you want to do Bara on Shabbos, you got to be sensitive to all of these last three pshatim of the Gemara, which means that you have to do it with your hand, you can't do it with an instrument. Forks and knives. So Rav Moshe argues that forks and knives are really extensions of your hands. Okay. So if you got to do it with your hand, you can't do it with an instrument. You got to take good out of bad, you can't take bad out of good. And you have to do so la'alter. You have to do so for immediate uses. What about an hour before lunch, an hour before shal shudas? Is that okay? So essentially, obviously this is a much longer discussion, but essentially, as long as it's the amount of time necessary to prepare, it's considered fine. Yes?
Would Tosfos agree with that assertion that that utensils are on your hand? Because in Tosfos says, you know, with Melech Sodomi, since you use forks and knives, you don't have to use
I'm just sharing with you. I mean, you could argue. You could certainly argue. But Rav Moshe says that forks and knives are basically extension of your hands. That's how. That's the otherwise on Shabbos it would be pretty messy eating.
But eating the bread with your hands.
Anyway, that's really, you know, all I did was just scratch the surface. Obviously, there's much more to discuss over here. But we have a daf that we need to get through, so we're going to go on in the Gemara. So let's say you have two different foods in front of you. Once again, I don't know what Rashi would do over here because Rashi wanted earlier to take out the word shnei. Maybe he did the same thing over here. Unsure, but anyway. Now, there are two ways to end this braisa. Either end it with the word pater or you end it with the word chayev. Now, that makes a difference how you're going to end the braisa. So Rav Ashi masni pater v'hatani chayev lo kasha b'kanav v'tam choyev b'nafav v'kavra. So the Gemara says, okay, but we'll go back to what we said earlier. Meaning we're talking about doing borer with an instrument. Now, if I use an instrument that's not normally used for borer, but still I'm using an instrument, so that's pater v'al aster. It's an instrument de rabbanan. If, however, I'm using something which is specific to borer, like a sieve, like a sift, so that's a chiyuv chatas. It was the Shabbos of Rav Bibi. They had Toranut, right? Those of you in yeshiva, your days in yeshiva, you remember, right? They had like a rotation of who was in charge of cleaning up after lunch, after dinner. So it was the Shabbos of Rav Bibi. So, right, he was the Mishamish. So, v'iklu Rabbi Ami v'Ravasi shada kamayu kalkala depere. Now, Rabbi Ami Ravasi come in, it's Shabbos, and what does he do? He takes the basket of fruit and he throws it, not the basket, but he throws the fruit in front of Rabbi Ami and Ravasi. So now what you had a mixture of fruit, you no longer have a mixture of fruit. It's now spread out all over the table. So now take whatever fruit you want. In other words, what he was trying to do, presumably, allegedly, is try to save them from the malacha of Borer. Again, this, first of all, speaks to the idea of Tosos again, that Bara is applicable, even though it's different foods. Just one food you like, one food you don't like. I mean, you could defend Rashi. You don't have to. You don't have to say that this is absolutely supportive of Tosfos, but anyway. But presumably, he was doing that to save them from Bara. So, Veloya Dana. Now, but what we don't know is Imishum de Sever Ocha Mitoch Psalas Aser. Meaning, look, when we reach into the basket of fruit, even had he not spread out the food in front of us, we would have taken the good from the bad. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, I don't eat the green apple, I eat the red apple. I'll take the red apple away. That's Ocha Mitoch Psalas. Now, I'm wondering, this is a Gemara, thinking out loud. Is it because he holds that Ocha Mitoch Psalas is still Aser? Which, by the way, earlier in the Gemara, there were two pshatim who would agree with that. Or was he just trying to be a nice host? Meaning, by spreading all the fruit in front of us, wow, that looks impressive. Right? That's a real, literally in this case, that's a spread. So, the Gemara... okay, I just thought of it. enjoy it if you like. Or consider that to be one of the corniest things I've said. One or the other. Maybe both. Chizkiya Amar Habara Turmasim Mitoch Psal Shalahem Chayav. Turmasim. Turmasim is kind of strange for me to describe because I don't know what it is. And I even looked it up and it's lupines and it still doesn't help me. It's a bean, apparently, where it requires cooking and recooking. Right, you know, in the southern communities, they serve refried beans. So so apparently this particular bean in question requires multiple acts of cooking in order to get it really good. In fact, Rashi describes that it needs to be cooked 7 times over. Okay. Anyway, the point is, by the Abor Tormasim Mitoch Psal Shalahem Chayev, by separating the tormas, the actual bean, from its psalus, you're going to be chayev. Now, what's wrong with that? Meaning I'm taking the edible portion of the bean and I'm separating from everything else. That's called ochel mitoch psalus. Shouldn't that be okay? So, Shani Tormasin, Dishalkile Shiva Zimne. I'm sorry, I said it was Rashi, it's the Gemara. Okay, sorry about that. You cook it 7 times. V'ilo Shaklile Misrach. And if I don't cook it, so then it's going to spoil. Ukipsolos mitoch ochel dame, and therefore, it's like psolos mitoch ochel. Now it's not totally clear what the Gemara means by all of this. And if you look at Rashi, you'll find that Rashi offers not one, not two, but 3 different pshatim in the Gemara to try to explain what exactly the Gemara means by this, and why is the extraction of the tormas bean out of the soup that it's in, out of the pot that it's in, why is that going to be prohibited on Shabbos? So Rashi's first pshat, I'm not going to go through all 3 pshatim in Rashi. Rashi's first pshat, on your own, please do so. Rashi's first pshat, Vehilka chochel nami kos manchem ura bo havi kipsolas. Umiyohu ochel hu, umachmir nalein lame havi ahu deshaku kipsolas mitoch ochel. Rashi's first pshat, I'll be honest with you, I don't fully understand it. If I may be frank with you, what Rashi means by this, as long as it's mixed in, it's like psolas, and so therefore the removal of it is like removing not ochel mitoch psolas, but rather the removal of psolas from the mixture. I don't fully understand what he means. But then Rashi offers his own pshat. Habor tomasim mitoch psolas shalahem mishishalchem pamachas mamrikin umaaren oso hamayin uboreham mitulao shalahen. Well, after the first cooking, says Rashi, what we do is that we look in the pot to see. In other words, first we remove the water, and then we look in the pot. Some of the tormasim are good, and some of them are wormy. So what we do is we take out the wormy ones. And every cooking, that's what we do. Remember, the Gemara says we cook it 7 times over. So after every cooking, we look inside to see which beans are good and which beans are wormy.
But this is all done before
Shabbos. No, we're not doing this on Shabbos, obviously. The cooking we're not doing on Shabbos.
I think it's even if
Shabbos
is on Shabbos, so what does
Bora matter? V'lo shalkilei. Now, but if I don't cook it, Misrach, what's going to end up happening is it's going to be, it's the whole thing's going to spoil. V'iloshalkile Misrach Garstinan. Now, by the way, that's a small, once again, we're going to be really talking about your source of the Gemara. That's a gears to change than what we have in our Gemara. In our Gemara, if you look carefully at the Gemara, V'iloshalkile, right? That's the girsa that we have in the Gemara. Now, the word shakal means to take. Rashi. Rashi says that's not the girsa he prefers. He prefers the girsa of Ilo Shalki lay. And now, if I don't continue this process of cooking, it's going to spoil. Hilkach mishashalkam pa'amayim v'shalosh chashiv le'psoles. So after cooking number two or cooking number three, even the beans themselves are still considered psoles. Because until I get to number seven, it's not an edible food. And because it's not an edible food, so therefore it's all considered psoles. That's why prior to the seventh time I cook it, it's all going to be psoles. So the removal of even the bean is going to be considered the removal of psoles. That's Rashi's pshat. That's the one he prefers. And then if you read in Rashi, Rashi even gives a third pshat as well in this very difficult Gemara. We're up to the Malach of Tochen. The Gemara continues, Atochen Amar Papa Haiman de Parasilka Chayv Mishum Tochen. Ichapa beats too finely on Shabbos, you're going to be in violation of the Malacha of Tochen. Okay? Meaning, Tochen is grinding. Now the classic example of Tochen is taking a kernel of wheat and grinding it down into a powder, into flour. That's the Malacha of Tochen. What the Gemara, again, you know, I kept saying this again and again. Gemara just comes to kind of now pushing the limits. What's the limits of Tochen? Well, I take a beet. A beet is something which is totally edible, although that point is debatable, what I just said. Okay, and it's an important point also. The beet is edible, and if I cut the beet up into small pieces so that I'm mincing, so that's also going to be the malacha of Tochen as well. It's a tolado. Now, Rashi over here, first of all, again, talk more about yourselves. Right? In our Gemara, it sounds like the Gemara is saying parim. Rashi says paris. Right? Bemem garcina velo besamech. Sorry. Rashi says parim. Ki depirish ba'or verotev ma'kipa purim birma blas mechatche hadek. So Rashi says that you cut it up into small pieces. Okay? You got to be careful when you make your Israeli salads on Shabbos. Okay? I say this without giving very clear definitions. But when you make your Israeli salads on Shabbos, you got to be careful. Because our Gemara basically just told us that when you take a vegetable and you cut the vegetable finely, so it will be possibly a tolada of the Malach of Tochen. Now I say possibly, why am I hedging a little bit? Because I happen to know that some Rishonim are of the opinion that if the food was edible to begin with, there's no Malach of Tochen. I also happen to know the opinion of the Rashba that says that if I'm doing so for immediate usage, so then it would be fine on Shabbos, much like by Borer. For immediate use would be fine, the Rashba says the same thing is true by Tochen. So if I'm preparing the Israeli salad right before the meal begins, so the Rashba says that's fine, that's not a malach of Tochen. It's only for when I cut it up in small pieces for later usage. Then and only then is it going to be a malach of Tochen. Okay, so, and you speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, he will give you guidance in terms of how to properly make your Israeli salad. We just, you know, I don't know. In other words, I don't know if he agrees with the Rashba or not. Okay. It's funny, I spoke about this once, so that's, you know. All right, I don't know. We go on. In the Gemara, Amar of Ashi, I kapid amashchasa chay mishum mechatech. Now, if when you're cutting up the beet, you're careful about how big pieces they are. Right? Did I skip a line? Yeah, I did. No, I'm sorry. You're right and I'm wrong. Amar of Menashe Haiman de Salasilta. Okay, you cut wood chips. Yeah, you're right. Because then the next line of the Gemara is not going to make sense. I cut wood chips on Shabbos Chayv Mishum Tochen. That's also a violation of the Malach of Tochen. Now, I know you're not going to eat the wood chips. At least I hope not. But if you do that on Shabbos, so then, again, the idea of Tochen is I take something which is of one piece, and I make it into particles. I cut it into pieces. That's the malacha of Tochen. And even though it's not a food.
Isn't it because of the muktzah to begin on Shabbat?
Let's call it muktzah, but we're talking about the malacha.
I know, but you're handling it on Shabbat.
Good. And so therefore you may be right. But it won't negate the fact that you're also going to be violating a malacha. Meaning when you're handling muktzah, you're violating an issa derabbanan. But now we're talking about the big stuff. We're talking about being mechal Shabbos. Right? It's you know, skila. So if you're cutting up the wood chips, so you are violating the malacha of tochin. And now let's say this. Am ravashi, kapit amashchas, chai mishamachatech. And now furthermore, if let's say you're careful about the length of the wood chip, meaning you're specific towards 2-inch wood chips, 3-inch wood chips. So not only are you going to be chayv on tochein, you're also going to be chayv on the malach of mechatech. Now I know we haven't really dealt with the malach of mechatech yet. That's talking about the process of working the leather, cutting the leather into a specific size and shape. But if it does, in other words, even though we're not talking about leather, we're talking about wood chips. But anytime I cut something to a specific size, that's a malacha of mechatech. V'halash v'ha'ofer. Amar afapa shavik tana didan bishol samamanim david b'mishka v'nakat ofer. So here the Gemara asks a question which I foreshadowed earlier today, and which is, why is our Mishnah, when delineating the first 11 malachas of Shabbos, why does it not say bishol? It says ofer. Now, let's be clear. They're both malachas. I can't cook on Shabbos and I cannot bake on Shabbos. And both would be a violation of an Isser Torah. They both would be malachas. Why does the Mishnah use the word ofer when the Mishnah should be using the word bishol? Now, why is bishol the better word? So I explained this once already this morning. I'll just do this one more time. Because our Mishnah is talking about those activities for the construction of the Mishkan. What we're doing over here with our food, with our fruit, with our berry, is we're using it as a dye. We're cooking the berry in order to extract the dye from the berry. So the word the Mishnah should be using is bishul, not afiyah. We're not baking the berry. So tani didan sidur depas nakat. So the Gemara gives an answer, which quite frankly, I could say over the answer, I don't know if I fully understand the answer. The Gemara says, well, Tana Didan Sidur de Pasnakan. Our Tana, the author of our Tana, is interested in Sidur de Pas, the order of bread. Meaning that we're going over the baking of bread. Okay? Which means that, in other words, instead of cooking berries, we're now discussing baking bread. Gemara doesn't really expound on that. Why is our Mishnah talking about baking of the bread? Why isn't our Mishnah talking about the cooking of the berries? Meaning, it's kind of answering the question without answering the question. Right? Okay. I need more clarification on this, obviously. As long as we're talking about the malach of bishul, it doesn't have to be a food. It can even be something which is inedible. A wooden peg. If I take a wooden peg and throw it into the oven, so you're going to be chayv on bishul. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, isn't that obvious? I don't know if it was so obvious. You're not going to eat the wooden peg, but listen to the Gemara. Isn't that obvious? So the Gemara says, yeah, but why am I throwing the wooden peg into the oven? I want to harden the wooden peg. I want to harden it by how? By extracting all the liquid out of the wood. In other words, by removing the liquid out of the wood, now I'm going to make it into a hard mass. Kamash malan demir farafe v'hadar kamit. So the Gemara says yes, but what happens is that for the first couple of moments or minutes that the wooden peg is in the oven, it softens the wood, and then you know what happens when you leave the food in the oven too long? It burns it into a crisp. It happens to be that over here, that's what you want. You want to burn it into a crisp, and so therefore, the chiddush is that we look at the first few moments where you're softening. Now, this is interesting, right? How about this for a discussion? I'm going to end today on this point. Obviously, we didn't finish the daf, but we'll just end today on this. From the Gemara, it sounds like, what's the definition of bishul? I'll ask you. What's the definition of bishul? From the Gemara, it sounds like the definition of bishul is, when I take something hard and I soften it. Meaning, look what the Gemara just talked about. The example the Gemara gave is taking a peg and putting it in the oven. Now the Gemara says, well, you're not doing anything wrong because you're just hardening the peg. And the Gemara's answer is, yes, but before the peg gets hard, it first gets soft, and then it gets hard. It sounds like from the Gemara that the malacha of Bishol is the malacha of softening. Now, who's saying that? So, first of all, me, but we can all laugh, so what? Well, but now we could look at Rashi. Yeah, that's an important Rashi. Rashi says that when it softens, that's Bishol. It sounds like from Rashi that the definition of Bishol, core definition of Bishol, is softening an item. Take a tough piece of meat and I cook it. That's Bishol. Now, it's funny because now I talk about an egg. Right? You take an egg, so obviously when you cook it, it gets hard. According to Rashi, that's not Bishol? I'm not sure. Now I will, you asked me about the Rambam earlier and I didn't know the answer. Now you can ask me about the Rambam here because I do know the answer. The Rambam says the definition of Bishol is taking something soft and hardening it, or taking something hard and softening it. Either way, either direction, says the Rambam, is the act of Bishol. But from Rashi over here, it doesn't seem that way. And I'm not going to fault Rashi. From the Gemara, it doesn't seem that way. Because the Gemara talks about the example of the wooden peg, and the Gemara says, well, you're just hardening it, what's wrong with that? And the Gemara says, no, because first it gets soft and then it gets hard, and that's why it's Bishol. So it sounds like from the Gemara that the definition of Bishol is first softening, then hardening. Okay, so it's interesting. I do hear the Rambam intuitively. I understand why the Rambam says what he says because of the example of the egg. But from the Gemara, it sounds like that the core definition of Bishol is the act of softening something which is hard. Okay. Well. Well, hold on. I'm getting assaulted with. I don't know. I'm presenting facts on the ground. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow from this very point. Again, a refuah shleima. Continued refuah shleima for Binyamin Zev HaKohen Ben Sharon Rivka.
Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha. We have an aliyah for the neshama of my grandfather.
Yes, yes.
Moshe Ben Aryeh Lev.
Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha. 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 Rabbi Chananya Ben Akasha.